Right now, it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning. We rebroadcast it during the week and also on the weekends. And you can always find Arthur's comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on RobinhoodRadio.com. Click on demand. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning.
I used the beans that you recommended to buy yesterday. I made myself a black bean chili.
Oh.
And with the bean company that
yes,
you
had. Yes, well, tell us the name.
I keep forgetting.
You know, Steve Sandro is the owner, because I get newsletters from him. You signed up for his newsletters?
No.
Oh, you should.
Okay.
Certainly if you're a purchaser, you deserve his newsletter. I think he's a very good cook.
Right.
And he likes to cook. So actually, even though this is now a big bean, what we're talking about, folks, do I have to look this up now? Wait till Jill looks it up. Rancho Gordo.
That's it. Yep.
Rancho Gordo, G-O-R-D-O. And he started out by saving heirloom varieties that he found. Well, discovered, I don't know how you would say this, brought back anyway, from Mexico. And now he has other varieties as well. And I buy I buy a number of different beans from him. They're expensive beans, folks.
Yes.
It's not Goya brand, which are so affordable. Anyway, I don't want to talk about beans today. I do want to talk about cold pasta or noodles or whatever you want to call it. It all prompted... prompted by a little flurry of disgust, I would have to call it, about cold pasta by my Italophile friends on Facebook. Not necessarily real friends, but people I know. I look at Facebook pretty much daily, but I don't participate very much. My family puts children photos up there, and I like that. So I like those. I mean, literally and figuratively. But the cold pasta thing really got on my nerves. And in fact, after a day of people ranting about it, although I have to say, it's a relief that people argue about macaroni salad exist or not, than the political stuff that's on Facebook. I'm thinking, you know, what snobs and ill-informed people? Because, in fact, in Italy, people do eat cold pasta. And around the world, people eat cold pasta. Think of cold sesame noodles or cold noodles with sesame sauce, whatever you want to call it, which is a Sichuan Chinese dish. Think soba noodles. Did you ever have cold soba noodles?
No.
On a hot day... humid day especially, it is so refreshing. Soba noodle, soba is made with buckwheat. And if you want it, they're sold dry in many, many stores these days. But do look at the package to see what the percentage of buckwheat is. Did I say they're buckwheat noodles? They're buckwheat noodles. Because some of them are really more wheat noodles than buckwheat noodles. And some of them are... So, such a large quantity or percentage of buckwheat that an American taste might not like them because buckwheat is not as smooth as a flour, as wheat flour, and those can be a little on the chewier side. And I think they're very hard to make, too. I remember there was a restaurant in Soho 30 years ago that made soba noodles, and it was a revelation to have freshly made by experts soba noodles. In any case, they're perfectly good dry. So, and you just follow the package directions, whatever they say, to cook the actual noodles. But in the case of cold sesame noodles, you want to get them cold, so run them under the cold water once they're to your tooth al dente, to your taste. They're not going to soften up much more once they're dressed. They should stay firm. Some people dump the drained noodles into a bowl of ice water to chill them down, you know, quickly, but I don't think it's really necessary. The main thing is the sauce. And by the way, if you don't... I'm talking about soba noodles. The broth, how you eat soba noodles is with a broth that you can look it up online. There are many recipes for the broth. And usually a little wasabi, which you can now buy in a supermarket even, and, say, some chopped scallions. That's it. Very refreshing. Cold broth with cold buckwheat noodles and these sort of, let's say, high seasonings. But the sesame sauce, now I make this sauce not just for pasta, but I do use whatever I have in the house, like a pound of linguine or spaghetti. Doesn't have to be, you know, fresh Chinese egg noodles, although that's nice if you have access. And you boil your noodles, again, to the taste as you like, and drain them, run them under cold water, and then toss them with a tablespoon of vegetable oil. This way, you can put them in the refrigerator for hours. Let's say you do this in the morning when you can still boil water. I keep complaining, but my kitchen is truly a hot box, even with an air conditioner blowing into it. So I think it's my little refrigerators generate a lot of heat. In any case, I would do that in the morning. And then the sauce itself does require Chinese sesame paste. On the other hand, I have, in a pinch, made it with peanut butter, which I always have in the house because I often eat peanut butter. So 7 tablespoons of Chinese, that's a toasted sesame paste, or 100%, you know, peanut butter. You know, I like to use just peanuts in my peanut butter, salt. So I buy a brand that is pure, natural peanut butter. If you have to use Skippy, it'll work too. But listen, you have to dilute the either sesame paste or peanut butter, and this is sort of to your taste. So I would start off with a half a cup of warm tap water and stir that into the peanut butter along with 5 or 6 tablespoons of soy sauce, could be light soy sauce, a couple tablespoons of either rice wine vinegar if you happen to have it, or could be just plain old white vinegar. It's okay. Any vinegar you have, actually. And then sesame oil, something I also keep in my kitchen all the time. I always have sesame oil. I mean, I don't do much Chinese cooking, but to me, a little sesame oil makes almost anything taste Chinese. So I do use sesame oil. A couple tablespoons of sesame oil. You want to make this spicy, but to your own taste. I use a ground cayenne pepper, normal cayenne pepper. You could start off with a half a teaspoon, but that's not very spicy. I must say, when I don't know if either of you remember a time when we had no cold noodles with sesame, because it was invented, or at least popularized, by a new immigrant chef who was called Shorty, who opened a restaurant in Chinatown, Hua Huan Sichuan Inn. It was the first Sichuan restaurant in New York, and these noodles became famous through Shorty. He was so legendary. This is a fun trivia fact, but he died very young. I mean, he only opened this restaurant in 1969. He died sometime in the mid-70s, but 6 years after he died, in a New York magazine restaurant guide, The Underground Gourmet, anybody remember that? Raise your hand.
Yeah.
In The Underground Gourmet, they referred to Shorty as being alive, and he was dead for 6 years already. The thing is, the family all knew how to make this recipe, and so they continued to in the restaurant. Now, by the way, there was way more sophisticated dishes in the restaurant than sesame or cold noodles with sesame sauce, whatever you're calling it. So that's it. Salt. You're going to need a little sugar, a tablespoon of sugar, a teaspoon of salt. I like to put a lot of garlic in mine, but you don't have to. And that's it. And you mix that all together, and you serve those cold noodles. Tossed with some of this sauce, not all of it, for a pound of pasta, it's too much, And then garnish it with a cucumber, peeled, seeded, and cut into julienne. That this is the traditional Chinese garnish. And if you want some fresh coriander leaves, I never want that. And then scallions. And I would use the green as well as the white. That's another garnish. I disagree with my Italian friends about this. I'm citing two Asian recipes for cold pasta. But fact is, macaroni salad is a good old American tradition, especially around this time of year when everybody's barbecuing. It's something you can make, keep refrigerated until you're ready to eat it. So that's the beauty of macaroni salad. But Italians make their own. I'm going to give you a variation on Bert Green's ziti salad in a minute. But Italians, this is why I had a laugh at this Facebook disparagement of macaroni salad, of pasta salad, when there's something, and it's very, I must say, trendy in southern Italy anyway. I wouldn't be surprised in the north, too. Crudaiola. Now, crudaiola means nothing. It just means raw, a raw thing. So, if you look up crudaiola these days, you're going to find a lot of recipes for tomatoes, either diced salad tomatoes or cut up grape or cherry tomatoes, so more or less marinated, well, macerated would be the word if you're using a vegetable, with olive oil and garlic, minced garlic, although you could leave out the garlic and use, let's say, onion instead. And then a lot of fresh basil, and that can be a crudaiola. However, I have had crudaiola in Puglia, which is was in Salento. I guess it was near. It wasn't quite. Puglia is the spiked heel of the boot, so to speak, and the actual heel is called the Salento Peninsula, and just above it, in a restaurant in a very famous town called Alberobello, where all the truly are, where the main street is lined up of these conical buildings with conical roofs, very picturesque, looks like little elves live there. But on the main street of Alberobello, there are many, many craft shops and gift shops in these truly. They're called one's a trullo, two's a trullo, true is truly. But across town, and more like the main part of town, is a restaurant called La Cantina, where I had the crudaiola of my life. And, you know, it wasn't tomato sauce. It wasn't raw tomato sauce at all. It was a variety of raw vegetables, all minced very fine or grated, like I would say, on the coarse side of a four-sided grater kind of grating, and then mixed with a lot of chopped basil, and it was onion, not garlic, by the way. It was, if I recall, red onion, carrot, celery. There was minced raw zucchini, but, of course, small, sweet little zucchini, not gazunta, not big, big zucchini, and no cucumber. They don't use much cucumber in the south of Italy. Anyway, but you could throw that in, too. Make a salad. Make a minced vegetable salad. Dress it with oil, olive oil. When you go to serve it, you can add vinegar or lemon juice better, or, for my taste, nothing at all, just salt and pepper. You know, if you want to put hot pepper in your crudaiola, you can do that too. So that to me, when I hear crudaiola, that's what I think of. And I had it again, interestingly, in Naples, but at the home of people who are from Calabria and now good friends after all these years. And Mirella is the name of the woman of this couple. And I always laugh at Mirella because she sits and eats her very bland crudaiola because her husband has stomach problems, Maurizio has stomach problems, and she sits there with a little dish with a little spoon. Puts a lot of hot pepper pretty much on everything, except dessert. So that's crudeola to me. So, you know, on July 4th, I'm saying you know because I talk about this so much.
You talk about it religiously every year, but I want to ask before we go on to Bert Green's.
Salad.
Absolutely.
It is a thing. A tribute to my dear late friend, Bert Green.
Plus, obviously.
But I love the salad.
I was just going to say, plus, obviously, it tastes good. And,
yeah, my niece calls it macaroni crack.
Right.
She's a skinny girl, and she can't stop eating it.
But isn't that because of the George Washington or whatever it is in it?
Well, so I made it without the George Washington.
Is it still crackish?
You know, I didn't really want it to be crackish because I wanted to limit my consumption.
Okay.
I made a half a pound. I didn't even look at Bert's recipe because after all these years, what do I need a recipe for? But now I am actually looking at it. And for 1 pound of... He makes it with ziti. I actually use, for a change, macaroni, large elbow macaroni, not the small ones. That they don't work here. They got to be a decent sized tube. Penne is good. Ziti. For a pound, I only made a half a pound. And I'm looking at the recipe now, and I pretty much know it by heart. So to my half a pound this is a trick. That I learned in Neapolitan kitchens, but somehow Bert got this trick and used it in his ziti salad, which is, after the pasta is cooked, you put it in your mixing bowl, drained, of course, well drained, with milk, with cold milk, and you keep tossing the macaroni, we could say pasta, in the cold milk, pretty much until all the milk has been absorbed by the pasta. And Bert used I used 2 tablespoons of milk. It worked out great for a half a pound of pasta. And the point here is not only just to help cool the pasta down without washing it, but also the dressing will not be absorbed as quickly if you do this.
What if you're milk averse?
Well, then I guess you can't do this.
So do you use something? Can you use water?
I wouldn't want to absorb. No, you could just rinse off the pasta macaroni, as many people do.
Right, okay.
Okay, yep. Or here's another one. You don't, are you milk averse?
Me, yeah, but that's neither here nor there. I just know a lot of people who...
You don't like lactate?
No, it's totally bizarre. We're not even going to do me.
Okay.
It's
a way of cooling down the pasta and getting the sauce, not the dressing, not to absorb too much. You know, one of the things I've learned over the many years I've been making macaroni salad is don't put all the dressing on at the very beginning. Only use, let's say, half, and then refrigerate it. And when it's cooled down, and by the way, it wouldn't hurt to toss it once or twice while it's cooling down in the refrigerator even. Just before you serve it, put the sauce on. And then, you know, this doing thing in milk, in cold milk, is less important. So that's it. The dressing I made was, I didn't even measure, but I think my proportions were about right, which is about, let's say, 3 parts mayonnaise to 1 part sour cream. I happen to have quarter of a cup of sour cream in the refrigerator. So I threw that in with my mayonnaise. I had, I had these 2 large shallots that I needed to get rid of before they got rid of me. And so I minced those up. I'd left out the red pepper that Bert always puts in. I did have a green bell pepper. I minced that up. About 3 gherkins. I keep sweet gherkins in the fridge, so I had that. Tomatoes. Bert's recipe calls for 2 salad tomatoes. I had maybe 2/3 of a cup of cherry tomatoes I used. Maybe not even 2/3. Maybe it was a half a cup. It was a few cherry tomatoes that I also needed to get into something. And that was pretty much it, except with a lot of dill. Oh, yeah, and I also drizzled some of the gherkin pickle juice in. And then a lot of dill. I think the dill might be the crack part of this recipe. and not the G. Washington Brown Bouillon Powder. Although, if you look at a G. Washington Brown Bouillon Powder, as that was Bert's secret ingredient, you will find that it is MSG and salt. I don't even think they say beef flavoring. It's just brown.
What could be better than MSG and salt? I mean, that's a...
Yeah. So, you know, this was a salad that Bert did not make at home. This was a salad that he sold at a store called The Store in Amagansett, Long Island, which is in the Hamptons. In those days, maybe the least pretentious Hampton.
It's true.
Not sure what it's like these days. These days, I don't know. I think it's a little more chic. In any case, Bert had a store, an early, maybe the first, gourmet takeout store. And he and his partner, Dennis, whose last name I'm forgetting, produced, I know, delicious food because I ate at Bert's house so many times. I know he was a great cook. And he wrote so many good cookbooks, too. Anyway, they sold to the stars who lived out there in those days. Lauren Bacall was a big customer. I'm forgetting all the celebrities, and probably some of these names don't resonate so much anymore.
Well, people should always know their history. Right. I said, no, they probably don't resonate, but people should definitely know their history.
Well, then I should probably read before I get on the air and see who all they were feeding. But this is a little footnote here. This is a footnote of some disgusting behavior. The Daily News, by the way, Bert, I knew Bert from the store, but he was just the guy from the store. And then he wrote a cookbook, and then he became a freelance food writer. And this is 1980, and it was the same moment that I got my job at the Daily News as the, quote, executive food editor. And I was able to hire some columnists, freelance columnists, and Bert was one of them. So from 1980 until the late 80s, when Bert died very young in his mid-60s, we were dear, dear friends. So why did I get off on my personal tangent here?
Because you were trying to think of the stores and the people who were...
Oh, yeah, but I'm not going to remember.
Okay.
So I don't think it's worth remembering, actually. Isn't Lauren Bacall enough?
for me, it is, and for anyone who... that's not an age... See, to me, that's historical. Yeah, I've always thought...
I agree with you, but having a senior moment here.
Oh, I'm not talking about you.
I used to be able to rattle them off. I can't even think of Dennis's last name.
I'm not talking about you. What I'm talking about is just overall, where you almost have to say, well, you know, that was a long time ago. But in the same way that if you are going for a job interview, you should just take a moment and find out something about the company. If you're just going to do a life, you should take a moment and find out about a couple of people who were floating around beforehand, because.
So the ugly footnote here is that he and Dennis wrote this cookbook called The Store, the Store in Amagansett Cookbook. And after the Daily News, my newspaper, our newspaper, revealed a major plagiarism, and in fact, that was resolved in the favor of the person who got plagiarized. And I'm not going to tell that whole story. And the man who did the plagiarizing ended up committing suicide. That's a pretty dramatic story. Soon after that, a reporter in Chicago who had a vested interest in this plagiarizer, not the plagiarie, the plagiarizer, the person who plagiarized. She wrote a story about how Bert had plagiarized his recipes in the store cookbook from Julia Child. Well, not really. First of all, plagiarism is very difficult to prove. You have to have used the exact same word-for-word language in the recipe. Otherwise, recipes are not... protected by copyright. And And in the case of the guy who committed suicide, he really did, word for word, plagiarize. In the case of Bert Green, these were recipes that he made as a caterer. And sure, he used Julia Child as a, as an inspiration for his catering business. Who wouldn't? And the recipes were in the cookbook because they were famous recipes. They were not word-for-word Julia Child. They were more or less inspired by Julia Child. And I'll guarantee you that Bert's ziti salad is not in Julia Child, in any of her books.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So anyway,
so Marshall
happy,
is saying
belated fourth to everybody,
and you too.
I can't cook when it's this hot, and so we've been eating out a lot, and I did make a macaroni salad in honor of Bert for 4th of July, and we're having company today, and I'm not cooking since they're Mormons from Utah. I'm going to give them a Jewish bagels and lox, et cetera, lunch. Mm. I think that was appropriate. Right?
I do, too. I'll be right over.
Yeah, and I have the best rugelach ever. I didn't make them.
Really?
They're from Margaret Palka, P-A-L-C-A. And if you're ever you're in Brooklyn, maybe go into Red Hook, which is now a pot. Oh, you know, if you the Queen Mary 2 was parked in Red Hook yesterday. And so if you're going on a cruise from Brooklyn, take some Margaret Palka rugelach with you.
Nice.
All right.
Okay. So Dennis's name, it just came to me, is Vaughn. Right. Bert Green and Dennis Vaughn. And the store cookbook was, you know, sometime in the early 70s, mid-70s.
All right.
All right.
I just cannot wait till next Monday.
That's a nice thing to say. Thank you.
We'll speak to you
I
then.
Can't wait to eat bagels and lox.
I'm drooling, and I.
And also, I had to hide Margaret's rugelach. I bought them yesterday, because if Bob knew where they were, we wouldn't have them
Thursday. All right. Have a great week.
Have a good week.
Take care. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robinhood Radio, robinhoodradio.com, on the web. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.